If I can have everybody's attention, please. 1:31, this meeting's to start at 1:30. We don't have a quorum, so we'll move on with what we have to have. We now have a quorum. Those present, Council President Bullock, Councilperson Kilpatrick, Diller, Cartier, Bell, Street, and Councilman Smiley, co-chair of Finance Committee. Got a motion on the minutes of the Finance Committee meeting of 9/10/13.
So moved.
Second.
Motion approved as a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All not voting? Okay, thank you very much. This is a little different than what we normally do, but we're going to go ahead with it just to see how it works out. Normally, we have the presentations near the end of the agenda. We're going to see how this works. Maybe there'll be some information come forward, especially when it comes to finance, that will actually curtail questions later on in the agenda. So I want to recognize the presence of Councilman Hollins, and with that, we will move forward to the CFO checkbook presentation, and we're going to go back to the good old days.
Ed Mo, our finance office, pitch hitting for Mike Coop today. We're going to be reviewing the FY 2013 revenues and expenditures as of 6/30/2013. These numbers that you'll see are unaudited numbers. The audit is presently going on. Should have the audit complete within the next month or so. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Russ Morris to review the revenue activity for the next fiscal year. And Dave Del Grande also.
Well, you did take over for him. You just dumped on somebody else.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. On the record, as we begin, Councilman Reda has joined us.
Afternoon, my name is Russ Morris, and I'm going to give you a quick overview today of the, as Ed said, unaudited revenues for fiscal 13. Now, the property tax often gets short shrift in our presentations, but it really, provides almost two-thirds of the revenue for the general fund, 65% in 2013. In 2012, as you can see on the chart, we took in $107.7 million. Our budget was $108.8 million, and we just barely exceeded that with $109 million. The property tax is a very stable source of revenue for us, but it does tend to grow very slowly. For example, in this year, we're only expecting it to grow by less than 1%, 0.6% over last year. So this is, and as a matter of fact, probably as we're here, people are standing in line waiting to pay their property taxes back at the government center. Most of the taxes come in during the first quarter. So we'll have a fairly good idea of where we are in terms of property tax collection next month. RTT revenue. This is one of the variables that we keep very close track of. And, fiscal year 2012, we only took in $15.8 million. Last year was a very good year for us. Our budget was $16.3 million, and we exceeded that by $3.4 million. It was $19.7 million. Virtually everything was good about RTT last year. You can see by the dark line, that was our budget line, what we expected to make month by month, and, virtually every single month, we were ahead of budget. We kept increasing and increasing this throughout the year. This is a summary of the transactions. This doesn't talk about dollar amounts. This is the total number of transactions. You can see in overall transactions, we were up 17%. We were up for the exemptions for first-time homebuyers. We were up for the smaller transactions. We were up for the transactions between 1 to 5. And the really big driver for us, transactions over $5 million. We were up by 44%. We went from 9 the previous year to 13. This is continuing to look pretty good this year. As a matter of fact, if we look at what we've taken in so far, we've had six large transactions this fiscal year in RTT. So the trend from last year is continuing into this year.
Just to add to that, last week we received the transaction for the Christiana Fashion Center. That made the top five ever of RTT transactions. We received $1.1 million of RTT from that transaction. If you remember, I think the transaction was done back in the spring, and we finally got the RTT last week for that transaction.
And if I can ask, I believe there was one, maybe there was more, residential transactions that were over $500,000 that were also first-time home buyer. Do we have any of those?
We do have. We still have some of those coming in. If I remember correctly, I think we lost around $200,000 to $300,000 RTT just for people over $500,000 who bought houses over $500,000 at the RTT.
Thank you.
This is just a quick listing of the large transactions from last year. It's not even all of the transactions. And you can see that we had several large last year. Nothing along the lines of the Christiana Fashion Center. Christiana Fashion Center far outweighs any one of those transactions by a factor of two. But this was one of the reasons, if we were $3.4 million over budget, part of the reason is because we had $2.6 million in large transactions.
And as you take a breath, Councilman Tackett has joined us.
And yet another look. What's really important when you look at this chart is the line that says under $1 million. And you can see that in FY 2013, we took in $12.6 million in RTT for transactions under $1 million. That's the best result that we've had in 5 years. Yeah, we have to go back to 2008 to see a larger number. So yes, the large transactions drive the revenue increases for us, but as an evidence of the health of the real estate market in Newcastle County, it's the transactions under $1 million increasing.
So, just to follow up real quick on Councilman Smalley's question, you look at the very first line, exemptions, that is the first-time home buyers. That portion you see, the $2.8 million, that is the seller's portion that we received. Remember, we exempted the first-time home buyer. So, for instance, in 2012-13, we exempted first-time home buyer RTT of $2.8 million. Just to make you aware of that, again, that was state action when we first received the RTT, that the county, I think all counties have to exempt first-time home buyers, and the state does not.
Moving on from RTT, let's take a look at some of the service charge categories. And again, we talked about this all last year. This is not unfamiliar to everybody here. Sheriff's commissions, not significantly. Deeds up. Again, another reflection of the improvement in the real estate market. Our budget was only $5.2 million for deeds and instruments. We actually received $6.1 million. Subdivision review. Yeah, with land use, it's been good news and bad news. The good news is that building permits have been up. The bad news is that planning fees have been down. So that was down by $600,000 last year. And the 911 reporting fees pretty much comes in like clockwork in the state.
Just to keep on adding on this chart here about the state, how they affected the county government. You see the deeds, the corporate filing fees, we received $1 million. Prior to 2008, we would receive $2 million. Remember, in 2008, there was some action taken by the state legislature for limited city limited financial package, and half our corporate filing fees are now given to the city woman. Then we receive the money, and we turn over half to the city on a monthly basis.
Let's take a little closer look at some of these categories. Recorder of deeds, as I said, was a very good year for us. You can see as we moved along, month after month, it was above where we were last year. And even if I were to look at this year, we've been running slightly better, for the first 2 months for recorder of deeds revenue as well. So we have a $5.8 million budget for recorder of deeds this year. Last year, we took in 6.1. Hopefully, we'll be increasing our revenue estimates for this category as we move into the latter part of fiscal 2014. Sheriff, and incidentally, there's one typo on this slide. If you look at the green space where it says actual, we're not prescient. We don't know that the FY 2014 actual is going to be 4.2. That was the FY 2013 actual. So we took in $7.5 million in 2012. 2013, we budgeted a reduction because we knew the Mortgage Mediation Act was going to have an impact. It had a far greater impact than we expected, and we only took in 4.2. This was, the reverse of Dee's, where we kept reducing this estimate as we moved through the year. This just talks about the sheriff's sales. You can see that the overall number of sheriff sales was down significantly in FY13, 1,619. And if you look at FY12, we did almost twice as many sheriff sales in the previous year, and the mortgage mediation essentially took place after January, so most of those sales were in the first half of the year. There was a significant slowdown. We are going to see a slight increase this year. I've been looking at new mortgage filings. They've been slowly moving up, and sheriff setups have been slowly moving up. I'm not sure where we're going to end up this year, but we'll probably be somewhere around 2,000. So it's going to be down significantly from the high years of FY10, 11, and 12, but we'll be probably back to around where we were in 2009. Zoning, this is where I said the numbers have been down and have stayed down. In 2012, we took in $1 million. In 2013, our budget was $1.8 million, and our actual amount was $1.3 million. Now, for this year, we've budgeted $1.4 million. We're expecting to do about the same that we did last year. And again, we are just about where we were last year. The numbers are running fairly consistent for the first two, 3 months of February of fiscal 14. Building permit revenue. That big spike that you see in this chart is mostly the AI DuPont Hospital. That was the 800-pound gorilla of building permits in FY 12. We took in $3.1 million that year. We didn't expect to do as well. And our FY 2013 budget was only $2.5 million. Well, in fact, we exceeded the previous year. We took in $3.2 million. And we took it in because of some commercial construction, but because of a significant improvement in residential construction. We've seen new homes and new townhouses and apartment buildings being built. And that's been really the driving force in building permits over the past year. So again, hopeful signs for the future. We look at the number of building permits and look at only the new construction permits year by year. You can see that the commercial is always a small number. Even though the numbers are small, can contribute to well over half of the total permit dollars. But it's the number of new residential permits. And again, the number of new residential permits for new houses and new townhouses in 2013 was the greatest that we've had since 2007. Just another indication that the real estate market is slowly coming back.
As we move to the next slide, Councilman Sheldon.
Again, let's talk about new construction. If you look at the commercial, we went from 97 down to 77, and that might look like a big drop, but some of those projects can be fairly small. Again, only one commercial construction project in 2012 accounted for half of the revenue for commercial construction. But building permits for the residential, single family, 528 compared to 341. Townhouses were up 208 compared to 192. So we see a consistent improvement in residential construction over the past 2 years. Permits are slowing down, obviously. We're going to see, you would expect them to start dropping off in the fall and then pick up again in the spring. So they're not quite as robust right now as we saw last year, but no need for us to worry right now. Some of the other major revenue categories, recreation, we receive money from competitive leagues, from carousel, from the park fees. Our budget for that for last year was $1.1 million. We actually received $1 million. Use of money and property, primarily this is interest. Now, and revenues that we receive from rents for buildings and reimbursements, $4.2 million. We received $3.9 million. Use of money and property in this line does not include money that had been put in there previously for the RTT debt service. That's dropped out for comparison purposes. Intergovernmental revenue, $7.2 million, is the budget. We received $7 million, and that's increased from the last time that you saw that because council appropriated money for the state contribution to the police pensions. So now that's included. And miscellaneous revenue, that's a big drop there, $2.3 million to only $500,000, but you know, the miscellaneous revenue budget had included $1.7 million from land use escrows, and that transaction, as everyone is aware, was later reversed.
Also, in that $7 million number is the $4.2 million we received this year for the paramedic reimbursement from the state. Just to go back on my theme, if we were still under the 60% reimbursement that we used to get with the state, that would have been an additional $4.2 million we would achieve this year. So, if you add up the first-time homebuyer RTT that we exempted, the paramedic reimbursement going from 60 to 30%, and the corporate filing fees, that's about, we were back, way back when, that's about $7.8 million of revenue we have foregone this year, again, because of prior state action.
And Councilman Powers, who's at the table now.
On the sewer side, our budget for total sewer collections, current and delinquent, is right around $60 million. We came very close to that, mostly because we had an increase in the delinquent sewers. We came to within $500,000 of the total that we expected. On the current sewer side, it doesn't look nearly as good. We were down about $1.4 million. And if you look at that category by category, the biggest change was in industrial. Industrial, we were down by about $1.5 million, and that was simply reduced consumption. Now, we have four large customers that do 80% of the industrial billings, and all four of them were down throughout that year. Luckily, in looking at this year's billings, you know, their total flow and usage is up, so things are looking a little better in terms of the overall estimates for this year. So, but as you can see, you know, we budgeted 57.8, we actually received 56.3.
Okay, so how did the general fund end up this year, expenditures versus revenues? Very first line on the expenditure side, the budget was 169.9 million. We spent 166 million. Or roughly about 98% of the budget was spent. On the revenue side, we estimated 166.9, we received 166.4, so we've got in about 99.7% of our revenues. So on our expenditures versus revenue, we're about $400,000 to the good of revenues received over expenditures. We had transfers out, which are transfers to the grants fund, mostly for county match, of about $800,000. So the net change for the year is about $400,000 shortfall. Now, if you remember, during the year, we did appropriate some stabilization reserves totaling $1.2 million. The majority of that was for workers' comp. So instead of leaving all that money of $1.2 million, we're only going to need to take $400,000 out of the available cash balance for the year. We began last fiscal year on July 1st of 2012 with about $56.9 million in available cash balance. the net activity of the shortfall of $400,000. And then we need to designate the RTT that we collected over the estimate as a RTT reserve of $3.4 million. So that leaves us available cash balance going into this current fiscal year, July 1st, of $53.1 million in the general fund. In addition, we have a rainy day reserve around $33 million. And, that's for the general fund. Any questions on the general fund? We'll move on to the sewer fund. Okay. Sewer fund, on the expenditure side, we budgeted $71.5 million. We actually spent $69.7 million, or roughly 97% of our budget was expended in the sewer fund. On the revenue side, we had expected $69.3 million. We actually received $67.5 million, so we were about $1.8 million under budget on our revenue side. Primarily due, as Russ had said, our industrial uses were down last year, and so our septic hauler usage was down, resulting in operating shortfall in the sewer fund of $2.2 million. We did begin the year with about $15.1 million in available cash in the sewer fund. So taking the $2.2 million of shortfall, we'll begin this current fiscal year with a $12.9 million balance in the sewer fund. In addition, we do have a rainy day reserve also in the sewer fund. That balance is around $13 million currently.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, McCartney and
yes.
Mr. Powers.
Going into this fiscal year, you know, I propose the increase in the sewer fee to neutralize this, the deficit in this fund. Are we expecting that we're not going to run a deficit this year?
We're talking about 14, right?
You're 14, that's
yeah,
correct.
This is 13 here.
I understand.
14, yeah, currently it's too early to tell. It's only right. August. I mean, we haven't done most of our billing yet.
Right.
We'll have to see how the fiscal year goes as far as what we'll end up. I mean, we'll probably have a better idea come November, December of the sewer
right.
fund.
But
again, we've only had 2 months of activity so far in 14, so it's too early to tell.
The rate increase was based off the projected deficit of FY 2013.
Of 2014 budget that was proposed.
I know that.
FY 13 did not include a sewer rate increase.
Right.
Budget that was passed by council on the 13 budget.
Right.
Did intend to use around $2.2 million in reserves to balance that budget for last fiscal year. There was no sewer fund increase that year. The 14 budget does have a sewer fund increase, so we'd have a balanced budget that was passed.
Yes. And I guess it's going to really seemingly depend upon how the industrial users, they kind of swing the fund in a big way,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. As Russ said, there's four main users, AstraZeneca, DuPont's, FMC's, and CBDI are the four main industrial users that kind of drive that part of the revenues.
So we're going into this year with a reserve of
around
12.9.
Correct.
Which is really very small.
In addition to a rainy day reserve of another $13 million.
Okay.
So
all right.
There's two reserves.
I'm sorry.
Regarding the rainy day reserves for both the sewer fund and general fund, we don't make annual contributions to those rainy day reserves. Are there a fixed percentage of our operating budget?
Yeah, it's a percentage of the revenues every year. So depending on the revenues, that number can go up or down.
Okay.
So it's not a fixed amount. It's 20% of the revenues that are out there.
20% of the revenues.
That are for that fiscal year. So if the revenues go up, then the rainy day reserves goes up. And normally what happens is the money would come out of the other reserve
right.
to go into the rainy day reserve. You know,
right.
Where it basically would come out from. Or if we had a surplus that fiscal year, that money would be added to that reserve.
Based on the relative stability in these, you know, budgets, that those reserves are not really adjusting that much.
No,
rainy day.
Right. Yeah, we don't see a big spike. We had a big spike in the budget for some reason.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That would change. But mostly the reserves are pretty been around the same amount year after year. So.
And that maintains the confidence of the rating agencies in our.
Yeah, I mean both those. That 20% reserve. If you like the rating agencies, that's on the high side. That's a high amount to have reserves, and
okay.
That helps us with a AAA bond rating.
Thank you.
Councilman Powers.
Yeah. I have two questions. One was something before, but I'll go with this. The septic hall is, I mean, it's not on here. The septic hall is, I mean, is our rate the same as Kent County?
Yeah, I'm not sure what our rates are.
I'm going to tell you, there's a lot being hauled to Kent County.
And that's what we're saying.
I mean, if your rate is higher than Kent, instead of going to Odessa, they're hauling to Smyrna. I mean, it's right there at the line.
Yeah, that's what.
Every time I go by, there's a truck dumping.
Yeah, I mean, that's what special services staff is telling us, that's what they're losing out to.
Maybe our rates ought to be adjusted to compete with them. I mean, if you're losing revenue, I mean, you should be looking at that.
Right.
But I can tell you, you go there 10, 11 o'clock at night, they're dumping.
Right. And again, you're right, this is something maybe we should bring up on a special services, because these are fees that are set by them.
The other thing is.
But I agree with you on that. We've seen the revenues, that's what we've been told, that they're moving ahead.
I'm just saying, if our rates are higher than Kent County's, we ought to be looking at it. You could say, well, we're making more, but we're not, we're losing.
Right.
You had said something earlier about I didn't bring it up then, losing the revenue on the 60% on the paramedics.
Right.
That is Kent statewide, but the first time home buyers, we're the only county in the state that does it.
No, I thought it was all counties.
No. Well, I understand the other two don't do it.
I thought it was all three counties, but I know that the municipalities aren't required to do it.
If you look into it, I think when we got the transfer tax, we gave up that, and the other two counties didn't give it up.
We'll go back and check that.
We need answers.
Good question.
So what does our checkbook look at in the out years? This is a general fund. The gold, yellow column is the fiscal year that just ended. As I said, we ended the year with a $400,000 shortfall. From 2014 to 2018, if you look under revenues, you'll see use of available cash balance. For us to continue with the balanced budget each of those fiscal years from 2014 to 2018, we need to use money out of our available cash to balance those budgets. If you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see that available cash being decreased every year because we use the available cash to balance the budgets. So we do have a operating shortfall each one of those years, and we would have to use available cash. Again, this is just a projection based on various percentage growth assumptions. But again, it does show the use of available cash balance every year to have a balanced budget each one of those years.
35% of cost.
Sewer fund. Again, we ended up in 2013 using use of available cash, $2.2 million. The 2014 budget, there is no available cash being used, as Councilman Cartier said earlier. We did a rate increase to have a balanced budget. But if you go from 2015 to 2018, there is the use of available cash to balance each one of those projected budgets. If you look all the way to the bottom, you'll see there's a use of available cash slowly declining each year. We had a rate increase whereby 2017, that money is almost all gone if we don't do a rate increase from 15 to 17.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Councilman Weiner is joined. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
What rate increase, looking at that, would be needed? It's a user fee to keep us in line with our income so that we're not eating into reserves?
For 2015, I would say probably about a 4.5% to 5% increase.
That much?
To cover that $2.6 million. So remember, that would be about $14 for a household.
I mean, well, that's $14 for the average household.
Exactly. Right. But that $2.6 million shortfall in 15, to have it at zero, you're probably talking about a 4% to 5% sewer rate increase.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And once that rate increase goes on, then that would continue to follow every year, so it would reduce those other roughly about by $2.6 million. It's not a one-year thing.
Thank you. In the fiscal year 2013, what was our payment to the city of Wilmington for the access to the treatment plant?
$18 million?
I was going to say
$18 million. About $18.5 million. And that contract is currently, it's on, there's an extension to that contract that ended, it ended June 30th. Right now, we're under an extension, I think, to the end of December, and there are negotiations currently going on.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed, on Middletown, what are we paying Middletown right now?
For sewer?
It's about $50,000 a year.
$50,000?
To treat the sewer we send down every year.
It's based on consumption. The rate's about $4.30 per thousand gallons, and that rate, $4.30 to $4.50. I think that number is comparable to the rate that we charge.
Questions?
I have one, if everyone's done, I have one closing comment on this issue, and that is that we need not forget and remain cognizant of the fact that as we move forward, one of the ways that we can positive, on a positive side, affect the need to increase taxes in order to balance the budget is to be responsible in the handling of the funds that we currently have. We can always, you know, we take a look, reduce spending, be mindful of what we're spending on, and be responsible. I think that's our priority above raising taxes. And I don't know that there's enough that we can responsibly reduce and still maintain services without a need to do something. But I think they go hand in hand, as they have for at least the last 7 and 8 years, and we need to continue working that way. Thank you very much. Okay. Moving forward, May. First on the agenda, there's nothing on the consent calendar, is resolution R13-211. Under my sponsorship, authorizing the execution of 9 purchase order contracts to Baker and Taylor Companies for state aid-funded library books and materials for Department of Community Services, totaling $208,614. Real quick to run down, and again, these are state aid-funded library needs. Bear Library, $36,700. Claymont Library, $14,500. Ellesmere, $7,200. Pocasson, $40,200. Newark, $32,100. Woodlawn, $900. Claymont Opening Day Collection, $32,314. Kirkwood Library, $23,700. And the Brandywine 100 Library, $21,000. Is there any questions, comments? Okay. Hearing none. Next on the agenda, R13-212, authorizing the execution of 1 purchase order contract to the state of Delaware for state aid-funded e-books as part of the Delaware Library catalog circulation for the Department of Community Services, totaling $60,000. And these are the access to electronic books as part of the Delaware overall library system. Any questions? Any comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by this resolution and purchase order. You know, this is the technological change going on in library services, the transition to electronic media for lending books and reading material, and I'm really glad that we're on the cusp and involved in this trend. Certainly for a lot of the users out there, both young and old, the Kindle and the Nook, all these type of ways of working with electronic media are going to become very, very important in the next few years. So it's good that we're on the, you know, involved in this trend.
Thank you. So that means we have to worry about you being on the library floor reading a book instead of on your iPad. Next, R13-213, authorizing the execution of 1 purchase order to Document Technology Systems for renewal annual maintenance on previously bid software and this is for the Recorder of Deeds office, for their system, for the Office of Technology, totaling $53,000. Again, this is for the Recorder of Deeds office for their software maintenance. Any questions, comments? Not hearing none. Next, R13214, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract to Midwest Tape LLC for state aid funded library audiovisual CDs and DVD materials for the Department of Community Services, totaling $31,741. And again, this is for the CD and DVD and audio collections that we get. And this is a purchase order. Let me make sure I've got it right. Yeah, this is part of the ramp up for the Claymont Library opening day collection. Any questions, comments? Okay. Next on the agenda is R13207, and I believe Councilman Cartier, this is to be withdrawn, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That KPMG demographic
analysis. Can I just go back? It just might be a simple answer that you might know or somebody else. On R13213, Recorder of Deeds system, wouldn't that come, why does that, we vote on that and it comes out of, does that come out of our budget and not the Recorder of Deeds?
Tom Peralta, Information System Manager. Basically, we pay, IT pays for all the annual maintenance contracts for all of those agencies, whether it's the Recorder of Deeds, Register of Wills, or for any other operating department in Castle County. It all just happens to be there. I think we're just the central source to manage those contracts. No one will come and talk for renewal and make sure they, you know, come for this body for approval.
So does that come out of your budget or our budget?
It comes out of our budget.
Okay, then I just wonder why we vote
that. Yeah, that's within the admin services budget.
And that maintains continuity of the maintenance contract for the software and all?
Yes, it does. That
by, rather than having all the different row offices and everything handling their own?
Correct.
Yeah, and everything comes to council. It's over $25,000. That's why the resolution has come before you for a
moment. Okay.
Yeah. And then we grab this technology funding money off of it. All right,
Councilman?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ordinance have none. JK&L's have none. Other county council grant requests. First on the agenda is No Limit Athletics. Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No Limit Athletics is a community group that I supported last year for $1,200. This year I've decided to, they actually requested $2,482 to purchase 6 new uniforms to allow greater participation for underserved children. What you have, I think all council members have, is the amount requested is $1,200. It's actually $2,482. The $1,200 represents the number that my aide thought would be reasonable. But after visiting with the group, I decided I want to make the full request of $2,482. So my proposal would be to authorize or to agree to the $2,482, which would be the total of what they requested. So I make a motion for the $2,482 for the purchase of uniforms for the No Limits Athletics Incorporated.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. Next on the agenda, the emergency food closet of 698 Old Baltimore Pike. Councilman Powers.
Yes, this food closet is at the UAW hall. They have, they serve quite a few, and they're always doing fundraising to try to get money. I'm going to give $400. I don't know if anybody else wants to contribute.
Councilman Tackett.
I'll help with, what did they want, 1,000? Who else? Were you giving some of these?
I'll give some,
help.
Yeah.
What are you giving? We'll make
if
it
we do 300 apiece.
Okay.
What we have now for the record is Councilman Powers contributing 400, Councilman Tackett and Councilwoman Diller, $300 each.
for a total of a grant request allocation of $1,000.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the motion is $4,000. Yes.
Second.
You want to go ahead and get it on the record for him?
Yeah, okay. I move that we accept this grant. Is that what you...
Second.
Grant request for $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I'm voting. Okay, this time I'd like to make the motion and go out of order to hear the next grant last for purposes of efficiency, and I'll explain that when we get to the end.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting? Okay. I'm voting. I'll be passed. Okay. Next on the agenda, the AFROTC Delaware 943 Air Force Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps of Glasgow High School. Councilman Dacus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'm excited to bring this application forward to present it before council. Members of council could probably remember that they did receive a email from the organization, as it does have to have a sponsor in order to get to our table here. So I was more than happy to bring it. I did think, as you read the application, but I think we do have an individual here today. Like to address the council members in response to this request of the organization for this money. So at this time, if we could defer to them to...
Yeah. You just identify yourself before speaking.
I'm sorry.
Identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, sir. I'm Major Barry Horton. I'm the senior aerospace science instructor over at Glasgow High School for Air Force Junior ROTC. And what we have is we teach the students that the goal for the organization is, one, teach them citizenship. Two is, our goal is not to necessarily put them in the military. We offer opportunities for them to go into the military, scholarships for college, as well as being enlisted in the military. Okay. One of the things we do, it's a cadet-run program, and this program is designed for them to plan. We run a lot of problem-based learning type projects for them to plan. Our core right now is about 125 to 130 students. Part of the challenge is Air Force Headquarters, the Maxwell Air Force Base, usually funds our program. They have certain requirements. As a result of sequester, they still have the requirements, and they did not provide the funding this year. Our operation and maintenance budget is zero. Okay. We have a uniform budget that we supply all the uniforms for the cadets, but they... you know, and some of them are used and we have to get rid of them, but our uniform budget was cut also. So we actually been coordinating with some of the ROTC units like University of Delaware to help us assist us with getting uniforms in. But they have specific requirements to do that. One is, we have curriculum in action field trips, which are required to complement what we're teaching in school. What we teach in school is a couple different. They get two different curriculums per year, which is twice what the students get in normal main track, the main track of school. One is leadership, which is when we teach them everything from how to maintain themselves, how to march drill in some respect, also into first aid and that type of stuff. Leadership, we teach them how to write, manage your checkbooks and finances. The second component is aerospace science, which I teach that. We teach them how to fly planes. We're coordinating with Dell State University with their aviation program to try to get them in place. We actually have a flight simulator and teach them how to fly planes. We teach world cultures, which is everything that's going on. For example, we have a problem-based learning project, which consists of everything that happened with Middle East and the Hormuz Strait. They had to pretend that they had to decide, they had to act as if they were advisors to the president and say, what would you do? Well, 2 years later, that situation happened. And so they really learn how to manage that in the governmental system and what they would do. Third, we teach them how to rocket propulsion systems, how to plan and program those, and also fourth, we have cadet corps management. Now, with the cadet corps management, they actually have to plan every project that they do, which means I spend time fixing it. So, Councilwoman Villa we had the pleasure of her coming to our drill competition. Once a year, first Saturday in February, we run a drill competition. It usually consists of about 1,000 to 1,200 people. They plan the entire project, schools coming in to compete anywhere from West Virginia all the way as far north as upstate New York. And they all come in and compete. And we have all the National Guard, the Air National Guard, Army National Guard, University Delaware students come in and they're judges and they actually run a food court. And that's part of one of our fundraisers to try to help us sustain. We run a budget of $12,000 to $15,000 a year. So we're kind of at that place right now where we have other fundraisers going. We do a lot of community service. We had probably about, I'd say, pretty close to a little over 150 community service hours last year. So when they're there, that's what I do, 150 hours. Okay. And so we're very involved in the community. We're asked to do parades. We're asked to do things for some of the governmental systems, some of the university systems, and even the district system. So we're kind of at a challenge right now because we have to supply also PT uniforms. We do PT, and we have other competitions like Greater Challenge and drill team competitions also. So our transportation costs alone run us probably about $5,000, $6,000. That's not even operations. That's part of our operations, but we also are required to feed them on this trip by the Air Force.
You got to feed them?
Yeah, we have to feed them.
So, can't win.
Yeah, I know. I know. I can't even feed myself. I don't know how to feed myself. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we do and where we are. Also, our program is an international baccalaureate program. Our cadets get two college credits for every course they take at our school. And they get actually two courses, so they have 4 college credits per year. So they can get 16 college credits transferable through University of Colorado to any college in the country. 11 Silver Ivy League schools are taking, University of Pennsylvania and so forth, Cornell and those. So that's kind of what we have right now. And there's 2 of us working, Chief Green and myself. So we're asking for some type of assistance because we really could use it.
You want to talk quickly about your geographical area that you're pulling from for all the cadets too? Is there any parts of Newcastle County that's excluded, or are you?
No, we pull from everything. We're part of the choice school system, so we have students coming from all over Newcastle County, to include Wilmington and wherever. I just moved to Delaware 2 years ago, so I'm still learning the system here. But we our students come in from all over the place. We have some that take the dark bus coming in, some that the parents are bringing them in, some that are transported in the local area.
Well, that's a phenomenal presentation. I'm about ready to ask Council President Bullock to get the plate out and pass it around the room on the wall here, huh?
Councilman Street.
Well, I want to preface this by making sure that the sponsor knows I fully support the grant. No criticism of the grant whatsoever. But I can't let him stand up and make this kind of presentation without crying foul on the part of the district and not holding Delaware State harmless out. I mean, the fact of the matter is the program services kids throughout the district, serves kids part of my district on the east side. And the district's not broke. And over the last 39 years, absent one under the Wise administration, I supported, worked hard for every referendum that they brought forward. They recently passed a referendum, and, you know, quite frankly, the administration should have funded this with the stroke of a pen. This is the exact kind of foolishness that makes people take their children who are in these kind of programs and create and go running off to charter schools and leave the regular school system and the rest of the kids are left behind in dismay. And second, I'm sick and tired of nobody's harmless here. Dell State on the front page of the paper, this wonderful, outstanding aviation program. And here again, if they don't support it at the local high school level, then they're going to continue down the path for 75% of the other kids who live on campus at Dell State aren't from the state of Delaware. So I commend you, Councilman, for supporting the program, supporting the grant. And I criticize the district for having put him through this. And again, I don't know where Dell State's going to get his students from if, like everybody else, they don't recruit at the local level. And to end up at the end of the day with most of the kids on that campus right now being not from the state of Delaware, I think it's absurd. And this is just part of the process, part of the problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excellent presentation, excellent program. For that reason, count me in for $250.
Okay, we're done with the comments. We're looking for $250.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we got two. Okay,
Councilwoman
Diller?
500.
Okay. Excluding Councilman Tackett, we're at 1,000 now.
500, I put my money where my big mouth is.
So we're now at 1,500. Councilman Tackett?
I'll make it up, yeah. So I'll move that, yeah. I'll move that the grant request for $2,500 be moved for consideration of the body at this time.
Okay, just, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, just to get it on the record before we go for the vote and for clarification for Ms. Gardner. Councilman Tackett, 1,000. Councilman Bell, 250. President Bullock, 250. Councilwoman Diller, 500. And Councilman Street, 500, and his pair of shoes. We're putting his foot in. Is that it? Okay, the motion and second for 2,500. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. Okay, next. Friends of Mount Zion Cemetery, the Afro-American Historical Society of Delaware, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, the request is for the cemetery. They continue to work with volunteers and to keep that particular cemetery cleaned up. I supported last year. Going to continue to support it. But I'm also aware that this is a band-aid approach, and I want council to know that I'm going to be approaching both the city, county exec, us as a body, and the state to try to look at doing something permanent for three of the cemeteries that continue to have this kind of problem. But in the instant case, motion for $1,000 for the friend.
Second.
Mr. Chair and members of council, I share the concerns of Councilman Street. Mount Zion's in my district. I'd like to contribute $250, but I also would like to say that I got a plea by email again for volunteers. I don't really have volunteers, and I would like to join you when you meet with the city and the county. I don't know what the legal constraints would be of having city and county government help our historic African-American cemeteries, but I'd like to find a way to do it and would like to join you.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion for $1,000 that consists of $750 from Councilman Street and $250 from Councilman Wire. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Okay, next on the agenda, Middletown High School band boosters, Councilman Powers.
Yes, this is, if you all remember, it's a 4-9, I believe $2,500. Middletown band was invited by the mayor, Westminster England, to be in the New Year's Day parade. And it's an honor to represent the state. I think it's one of 14, oh, I forget, 5 or 14 bands in the country. But I think Councilman Bell and I gave $2,500 then. We're giving another $2,500 to help get the equipment there. And whatever helps, greatly appreciated.
Councilman Bell.
$1,250, split it with Councilman Powers.
Okay. Just to clear on the record, we have a motion for $2,500 for Middletown High School band boosters. Councilman Powers, $1,250. Councilman Bell, $1,250. Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Okay. Next on the agenda, Newcastle County Division of Police. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, you'll be leading this off.
I will. Thank you. This is a request for a grant for $2,340. When I was first approached on this, the police department was looking at applications for a federal grant. In order to do that, they needed to have a guarantee of a match. So Councilman Weiner and I had been working together before this on graffiti within our areas. We've talked with the officers that are in the gang division because they watch graffiti. I mean, we're looking at keeping up neighborhoods. We have neighborhood, the graffiti brigade, which goes out and cleans much of what's out there. So we are using cameras in some of our high highly criminalized areas that they've actually caught a decent number of people. So this takes us to the next step of the sensor. So in areas where they are constantly being hit over and over, we're going to have sensors mounted so that when the aerosol can goes off, the whatever chemicals in the aerosol can is picked up by the sensor. The sensor then hits it over to 911. The closest car gets notified, and hopefully they get there as the graffiti is going on. So this is technically the match for the grant, but we're giving it up front so that they can actually get one of the sensors purchased now rather than waiting until October when the grant comes in.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick described it perfectly, and also like to add that Councilman Smiley is, I guess I'll speak for himself, but he's also participating and he can explain how he's doing it. I just would like to say that all of council has benefited from citizen public-private partnership, and I want to thank Councilman Retta particularly as well. I know he's been involved in supporting this, and to the extent that we have citizens that want to get involved in what we're calling the Citizens Anti-Graffiti Brigade, there's a standard protocol that the state and the county have approved as to how they do it. For example, your feet never leave the ground. There's U.S. interstate highways we don't go on. We don't have kids on the sides of the highways. So there's a protocol that we can get people involved. And also, Councilman Michelle, your constituent is the leader of all leaders in this brigade, so thank you.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes.
Okay.
So I guess I move that we accept a this grant total of $2,340 for this.
I just wanted to make one comment. I backed my grant away because I felt you two should have the opportunity to speak first. And the only thing I want council members to be aware of, if you're not familiar with it, because I did some research when I first came over, is they're mounted in the high graffiti areas, but they're mobile.
Right.
They're not set to one district. If you make progress in an area, then they move them somewhere else. So they are mobile and go all the way around the county. So right. You know, they'll serve for everyone.
Yeah, I'd just like to add that CAO has brought about the concept of a new app that all our citizens can download. So it's GIS based. It'll be added, I guess, in the fourth quarter of 2014. You take the picture, you don't need to figure out where you are. And it'll just go right into a central database. The other thing about these special machines is essentially you've got technology that smells the fresh aerosol going on.
Yeah.
So the graffiti vandals may not even know what hit them because you know, they'll think that they wear dark clothing and the cameras can't see them.
Okay, there's a motion for $2,340 divided $1,170 each. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Weiner. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Unanimous. Okay, with that, I'd like to move back to a grant for Newcastle County Division of Police. I'd like to make a motion to suspend council's rules of the $2,500 cap on grant allocations.
Second.
First and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
And not voting.
Councilman Tackett, not voting. Okay, this is a $5,000 grant that I'm putting forward to the Newcastle County Division of Police. It will go to purchase an additional graffiti sensor that will help build up the inventory and any balance that's left over. And the chief's still here, I guess he stepped down. We'll go wherever it will best meet the needs of crime fighting in Newcastle County. They're looking at some prostitution stings, as well as some special undercover drug movements. So wherever it's needed, it's what I've historically been doing with my grant money, is keeping it in the county and moving it to public safety. So with that, I'd like to make a motion for $5,000 to Newcastle County Division of Police.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting? Councilman Tackett, not voting? And I'm a yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just make a couple comments why I wasn't voting. I think this is a very worthwhile cause, as all the grants are. I just would like to see it done, you know, through the process. Suspending the rules is really just the backdoor way of spending the grants. So I just felt it should have been brought forward, as they all are, and much like you do with every grant that comes before us, you do not voting. So, and this is actually a backdoor way of giving the grant. So that's why I went not voting.
I got a discussion, because I don't understand what you mean by a backdoor way of giving the grant, since it went through the normal grant process.
Didn't we suspend the rules?
Yeah.
Could we suspend the rules for all of them?
Yes, you could.
I said, do we?
Only those that exceed the amount. That's why you suspended the rules. And the reason I moved and requested to go around mine was because Councilman Weiner and Councilwoman Kilpatrick would have been close to the $2,500 limit. So you have to suspend the rules in order to give more than $2,500 to any entity. So that's all that was being suspended. The cap, not the process, not the procedure, not the requirements, not the reporting end. Only the cap that we have. And that's why. And we have done that in the past for other than the police department. But that's all that was suspended. Not the process, not the procedure, as I said, just the cap. We, council, put a $2,500 cap on. And that was near met. And which was why I moved mine, because I did not want to interfere with what these two council persons were trying to move forward if someone or if a majority did have an issue with what I was trying to do. So just as an explanation, that's all that was suspended, not the council procedure.
And I think maybe I got a little bit wrong in my comments, or maybe you didn't fully understand them, but my full premise was, and not voting, was that the fact of you don't vote on any of our grants.
Oh, and that's fine.
And that's why I didn't vote.
So but that wasn't
if
what
you're
said.
Going to spend them, vote on them, let's do it. If not, then don't. It goes back in the general fund, and it still goes back to the taxpayers. So.
I have no problem with you feeling that way, but that wasn't what you said.
Well, that's why we clarify.
Okay. Expense and revenue roundtable. Does anyone have anything for that? Okay. Hearing none, we're looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.